Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Skills of the Future, and our mini-series on HR Game Changers, applying skills and competencies to the world of work. In this episode, we're going to be talking about all things recruitment and onboarding. My name is Andrea Butler, and I'm your host and principal consultant at Perennial Talent. My guest today is Jelena Radetsky. Jelena has 8 years of experience in human resources. Her main focus is on the development of internal programs that support the needs of employees, while also building an internal culture that engages and promotes personal and professional growth among every member of the organization. Some of these programs include onboarding, benefits, holistic wellness, including mental, physical well-being, and learning and development that ensure employees thrive in an environment that supports their overall well-being. Jelena supports the overall business by connecting with leaders and employees and understanding their unique work environment and helping address the existing needs of the workplace, as each workplace is different. She has an undergraduate degree in psychology with a postgraduate certificate in HR management and adult education. Her interests include her 21-month-old son, Luca, fashion, home renovation shows, and writing. Welcome to the show, Jelena.
Thank you so much, Andrea. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start with our fun icebreaker question. What's something that you've read or watched lately that you'd recommend?
So I didn't think I would like this show as much as I did, but recently I've seen a mini-series titled Wolf Like Me. And it's a relationship story about where a man meets a woman, and indeed she is a werewolf. And they both have this complex history in terms of relationships, but it seems like by chance, by something else, they're brought together and they're continued to interact paths. So there's something about that relationship. And every night when there's a full moon, she has to go home. She has to lock herself in essentially like a vault to ensure that she doesn't escape outside and put someone in harm's way because she becomes a werewolf. So what I really like about this whole storyline is that how their paths come to be, and it showcases that no matter what kind of complicated backstory you might have, no matter what the baggage you're carrying might be, you can always find someone that kind of aligns with your values. They have their own complexities, and you come together and you create your own wolf pack. So it's really about, you know, relationships and the complexities of the human being.
Interesting. Yeah, that's what I always like about kind of fantasy sci-fi shows. If done well, they can really do a great like social commentary on what it means to be human.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of parallels there. And I think a lot of us can associate with some of those common elements, those themes that run in there in terms of relationship building and just finding your own wolf pack, people that can help you grow and be your best self.
Interesting. So I'll have to add that to my watch list. Yes. Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. Amazon Prime.
All right. Perfect. So then moving on to our more on topic questions, I'm just curious from your point of view, what do you think are some of the challenges that you've seen when it comes to recruiting and onboarding new hires?
I think it is a very much a different world than what it used to be. For me, as an example, in doing recruiting and because of the world challenges we're facing with COVID and having to do things more virtually, the same practices that one would have taken in person to conduct recruitment, to meet people, to have those conversations are a little bit different when you're doing it online and you're trying to streamline the process and get the best talent. So I unfortunately have found, you know, many challenges when trying to obtain talent in that, you know, that same level of expectations in terms of someone coming into the interview to be prepared, be professional and present their best self. It is not always the case. Maybe they see it, you know, it's a video interview. So it's okay if I don't let the interviewee know that I'm actually not going to be attending, or you know what, maybe I'm meeting them in a room filled with other people, or I'm not prepared. There were many different common scenarios that occurred where I was a little bit taken aback that someone didn't do their little bit of research, or they didn't present maybe their best self. So for me, I had to pivot in that regard and really kind of even send like a little bit of a guide to the candidate and say, you know what, expectation is still the same. We're doing this interview. Please ensure that you have the best sound possible. You're in a quiet space and you can really commit to this conversation with me, because I want to be able to apply still those same principles that we would welcome and encourage and expect in a face-to-face interview, but also doing it online. It's all quite important. And then in terms of onboarding, especially within this whole virtual reality that we're faced with today, it's really important to be able to have more of that connection point when bringing someone on board and let them know that there is a human being behind the screen, right? So we're all kind of missing that physical connection. So really be able to kind of remove some of the barriers and provide that human touch, provide those checkpoints, and ensure that they are onboarded in the best way possible.
And you know, we're kind of a competency skill guru, or I am anyway. So I'm curious, what skills or competencies do you feel are really important right now if you're an organization looking to hire someone or looking to grow those skills?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. How much time do you have, Andrew? So some of the ones that I'm going to mention right now, I feel like are a very common theme across the board for most organizations, most employers, but I'm speaking from obviously my own perspective. So I think that what can never change really is emotional intelligence, really to be able to identify, understand, and anticipate the emotions, concerns, and thoughts of others, and to be able to communicate that effectively. Interpersonal awareness allows you to read other people's feelings based on their nonverbal behavior, their tone of voice, and choice of words. So because, again, a lot of us might be working remotely, how to bring that level of emotional intelligence to the workplace, it really provides that opportunity to be able to connect with others much more readily and being able to stay positive in the face of challenges. And these social skills are very productive in any format of communication and relationship building internally. And what I found is that people with a high EQ, they make for natural leaders. They're very collaborative, they're empathetic, they're good at conflict resolution and building those positive work relationships. So that's really the first thing I'd like to mention. And of course, there's so many others, but another one being agility, to be able to really learn rapidly and flexibly is really critical, especially in today's world where the skill set is shrinking, it's almost concentrated. So to be able to take ownership of your own personal and professional growth by being able to adapt to a growth mindset and continuous learning. So that's another piece that I would outline. And then creative problem solving. So I think that especially in this day and age, creative problem solving really requires the flexibility of using different problem solving strategies and searching for competing alternatives before making any decisions. Communicating and working with others across different disciplines, industries, or different cross-departmentally, gathering feedback and redesigning solutions until the best one is found. So really keeping that big picture of the problem in mind while also focusing on the very specifics. But and also we can always use technology in an ingenious way to solve hard problems. So partnering with different softwares, with different tools to be able to equip a workforce. And that also, that creative mindset allows you to do that because you realize that there's no set solution. There's no just plan A. There needs to be other different partnership for you to align internally. And then one last one that I would mention is collaborative. So to really drive innovation and solve tough problems of today, it's really important that we're able to communicate with one another, really understanding how an organization is structured, its culture and different groups, building those coalitions internally and externally to achieve various objectives. So all in all, those are just some of the pieces that I would mention today. So really collaborating, clear communication, being empathetic as we all kind of dive deeper into this new workforce.
And you started to touch upon it, this idea that some of those skills drive creativity and innovation, but are there other threats or pain points, do you think, if an organization doesn't take the time to actually define these skills and attract and onboard people with these skills?
Yes, I believe so. I think that not having a diversified workforce with the necessary skill set could lead to potential gaps, which could result in frustration among various teams internally, as some people might feel overworked if the right talent is not recruited and there is a skills gap internally. This could lead to potential burnout and moreover, employee turnover. So I think really understanding your workforce and the skills that everyone brings to the table is critical to be able to support the growth and development of your employees. I just recently heard this quote and I really, really like it and it resonated with me. And it says, rehire your existing employees. You do not want to let your talent feel undervalued and therefore make a decision to exit the workplace. Really understanding the internal skill set that is already within your organization and then continuing to build and onboard talent that can help them also continually grow and develop. When recruiting, it's important to place people who complement the existing workforce and ensure diversity in thought. And so if we don't recognize the people that we have, then how can we provide opportunity to look at what else we need in the future in order to be able to expand and grow together?
And so then what actions can companies take if they're looking to kind of mitigate those threats and really then improve certainly diversity, but also how they go about attracting people with the right skills?
So there's many different routes you can take. But let's say we are just, we are defining the role that we need and we know that we need people and we want to mitigate, getting not the right fit for the role, as an example. I think first step is looking at the job description. So I know it's very much a basic piece, but it's important. And I've seen it done wrong before. So to avoid hiring the wrong person for the job, an accurate job description is key. An inaccurate one can't draw in qualified candidates. So it's vital that success factors for a role, as well as identifying behaviors and qualities and skills that will bring value are clearly identified. Keeping things simple, but really involving aspects of your company culture and specifics of the work. Company culture heavily influences a candidate's opinion. And this could be the difference between a quality candidate applying or someone going to another company. So really describing the job is very, very vital to ensure job satisfaction for successful candidates and avoiding someone who is not the right fit for the position. It's also important to screen candidates carefully. And I know that especially if, you are in the position of a recruiter, it can be very difficult, right? There's so many aspects to the role. It's very much high in demand, but we want to ensure that we hire top talent. Even in the interview process, asking an array of different questions that would be best suited for the position, ensuring to check references and doing a follow through on various interview steps to avoid bringing not the right people on board. And there's also data analysis techniques. So in HR, we have a whole new set of, you know, AI that we can utilize to ensure that the right person is joining the company. So by using like people analytics as an example, you don't have to rely on your gut feeling anymore. Analytics really enables HR professionals to make these data-driven decisions. And it also helps test the effectiveness of HR policies and different interventions. So being able to use data in decision-making has been growing very rapidly over the last few years, especially through the pandemic. So, and as we move post-pandemic, there are changes happening in these practices. And especially when there is a growing popularity of hybrid work, there is this increase in automation. And so I think that we need to align with these kind of needs and utilize the analytics a bit more. And finally, so there are different offerings in terms of like even psychometric assessments where you can assess an individual's particular traits to ensure that you would be better prepared in making that recruitment decision. So these type of assessments, they let you objectively get to know your candidate. They can offer knowledge simulation tests in across various industries and roles to help you take out some of that guesswork out of the recruitment process.
And also some of that bias.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that's just some of the things that I've seen that I think that it's important to be able to shift, especially in this very quickly changing workforce.
And then from the onboarding side, what do you think companies can do to make sure they help their new hires really get up to speed in terms of, you know, the skills needed for their role, and given, you know, it's uncertain times that we still live in?
That's a great question. I think it's really important to provide very clear expectations coming into the position to really ensure that alignment between the leader and the employee who's coming into the position, and really understanding the challenges. So being very upfront in terms of the expectations of the position, understanding where the pain points are so that, you know, nothing comes as a surprise, and providing an opportunity within the onboarding process itself that there's somewhat of a structure for learning about the various processes, projects, getting to know the team, and time for self-guided learning where all of this new content can sink in. I think a lot of organizations expect the new hire to be an immediate expert of their environment and not realize that, you know, they were once a new employee as well, and they forget the time it takes to adjust to a new work environment. And ideally, to be able to accelerate their learning, so providing them with a knowledge base of information, with unified resources, and potentially access to some sort of L&D learning and development platform to help spur that for them. I think recent research has shown that really being systematic in your onboarding brings new employees up to speed like 50% faster, which means they're more quickly and effectively able to contribute to achieving those desired goals. Another few things that I would mention is really helping the new hire get integrated into the team. So really making them feel welcome, understanding everyone's different roles and what their contributions are. And also helping them get early wins. So this is something that can really, as part of your onboarding, you can provide little projects, little scenarios where they could really showcase their skill set and their value and make them feel like, oh man, this is what I've accomplished. This is where I can add value right away and help them get those wins. And then continuous coaching for success. I mean, I know as a leader and as a manager, there's so much time that you can contribute to the development of your people. But if you can set that set that relationship early on, and companies can support their leaders to be able to provide these resources for their new hires and create that strong structure in the beginning in terms of onboarding, there's going to be, all in all, a huge return on investment with people, because they can feel that. They can feel the investment that's being given to them.
And do you have any advice for, say, HR professionals who may be looking to make their recruitment or their onboarding process more effective?
I say put the time into it. So do your research, look at various industries, look at what other employers are doing, but also ask your existing employees about what are their pain points when they join the organization, and try to elevate those experiences and potentially not, you know, ideally repeat some of the same mistakes moving forward. It really understanding your workforce, the needs there, and then take the necessary steps to get there. So it's all about, you know, process improvement. I think surveys do go a long way, really understanding their internal experience, and then doing some research and doing some serious work to get to where you want to be, and building the type of workforce and culture that you want to have for your current and future employees.
That was actually the last question that I had for you today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I think that we all the questions you had, you've taken a lot out of me today, Andrea, but actually one thing I do want to mention is about continuously adapting, especially now we are challenged more than ever to bring about the best talent and to grow our internal work culture. So it's really being able to pivot, look at best practices, but really look internally about our existing workforce, how to support them, and how to move forward as a company. No company is the same. No company culture is the same. So really finding that best fit for you and doing the research in order to get to where your vision is.
Excellent. Well, I do want to thank Yelena for coming on the show today. Thanks, Yelena.
Thank you so much, Andrea. It's a pleasure.
And if you want to reach out to Yelena and talk about a little bit more about recruitment and all things onboarding, the best place to do so would be on LinkedIn. So thanks to everyone for listening. And thanks again, Yelena.
Thank you so much.